Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Taro International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Taro.com.
Hey, welcome to the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for hanging out with us. In studio with us is Tom Colvin. Tom and I go back years, not just a year or two.
Yeah.
And he is the executive director over at the Animal Rescue League here in Des Moines, perhaps the preeminent rescue operation in the metro, and well, in north central, in central Iowa, at least. And good to have you here, Tom.
Thank you, Michael.
Good to see you again.
Thank you.
So let's start out with the animal. I mean, I can't imagine people don't know what the Animal Rescue League is, but perhaps they don't. So tell us about a little bit of the history.
Okay. Well, we're a nonprofit organization, Michael. We were incorporated in 1926, so we've been around a while, actually starting from some very humble beginnings right down, not very far from here, in a little house by Crocker Street, on Crocker Street, that was an effort to kind of get the stray animals off of the streets, primarily dogs. It was almost exclusively dogs back in the day. And then over the years, we've just kind of gone... We've gone out to our main location, which is out at the corner.
It's a beautiful facility, too.
Yeah, 54th Avenue and Northeast 22nd Street. But, you know, we're kind of out on the edge of town, so we've gotten some satellites. So people see us in West Des Moines. They see us down at the Southridge Mall. And over the years, we've taken over the basically partnered with the city for animal control. So we're operating out of the animal control facility. So, you know, I mean, it's just been kind of a roller coaster ride. I tell you, it's really been kind of on a rocket ship of growth.
And this isn't just dogs any longer either, is it?
No, it isn't. We really take the word animal in our name literally. So we are handling, you know, really any kind of animal that comes to our doors or needs us, you know. And over the years, that's primarily been dogs and cats, but it certainly is a lot of horses, a lot of guinea pigs and ferrets and, you know, parrots and a number of those types of animals. And unfortunately, you know, we're going to be talking about legislation today, but unfortunately, we've had to deal with our fair share of exotic animals. You know, we've had a Bengal tiger brought in. We've had a couple of mountain lions brought in, bobcat, macaque monkeys, you know, and so we had to go to the legislature and say, we got to tighten up this pet ownership of exotic animals because of the numbers of animals that are out there and coming into the Animal Rescue League and other places and unfortunately not being properly cared for, which is the primary function.
You know, the whole idea of animals per se has evolved greatly over the past decade, maybe two decades now. The idea of calling them companion animals really does play into a softer side, I think, of owning critters. Would that be accurate?
That's very well said. You know, I've started this into this work over 40 years ago.
Amazing.
And I've seen, you know, it come over a period of time. Not only are interactions with animals, you know, they've primarily moved inside with us, and you know, they've been viewed as family members much more. So yeah, that softer side of our interaction with our companion animals has definitely changed over the years. But you know, so has the acceptability of adopting from animal shelters, rescues, and that type of thing.
That's a big thing.
Yeah, it didn't used to be kind of the cool thing it is now, which is a wonderful thing for us and other rescues and shelters, is that people are actually searching out that opportunity very often first. That's where they go to get their pets, and that's a wonderful, wonderful change.
Yeah, and to give a forever home to some companion animal who has been perhaps neglected or mistreated or just left alone or wanders, you know, that's a great, it's a great feeling. And, you know, we've humanized so much of what we do with our companion animals, from clothing in stores to various diets now that are available. You go to any large, even locally owned pet store, and they'll have dozens of brands and types of, for example, dog food.
Right, right. And you've actually, you know, while we're on this subject, you've heard, you've maybe have seen studies. There was a study here recently about people basically having a a better feeling about their dog than a lot of human family members and things. So, you know, and a lot of people
it's
can relate.
Also, equally, it's also, you know, because all of us live and eat and breathe social media anymore. And so we will see a spate of individuals who have lost their pets, yes. you know, and they cross over the old rainbow bridge, so to speak. And,
yes.
and that's really a... That's really tugs at the heartstrings because I think we've all been through that at
yes.
the same time.
Right.
Tom Colvin, ladies and gentlemen, he's the executive director of the Animal Rescue League. Well, this is not only a local issue. This is also a federal issue, isn't it?
Yes. You know, the whole issues of animals, animal protection, all of that, you know, goes from city, county, state to federal. And there are federal issues that, you know, are out in front of the spotlight or in the spotlight right now that, you know, we want people to be aware of. And, you know, actually to that level, the ASPCA, who's a wonderful organization,
correct.
A national organization based in New York, you know, the Animal Cops folks, you know, back in the day, that's ASPCA.
Remember.
Yeah. And they're hosting actually a community animal welfare meeting at the Animal Rescue League. For the public to learn more about federal animal welfare laws going through Congress right now and how they can help. There's a few things, you know, that's going through right now that have to do with horses. You know, there is some practices called soaring of horses.
All right, I'm familiar with that.
Yep, yep. And so there's some legislation going through on a federal level on that type of thing. And so they're going to actually be here and utilizing our auditorium at the Animal Rescue League. So, you know, just hop on to our website and you'll have a chance to send an RSVP and come on out.
10, 11 years ago, I remember one of the big things that was going on in many rural parts of the country were people that because of horse feed was increasing in price and we had some not very good weather, poor weather conditions, people were just abandoning their horses and letting them run free. Are you seeing much of that in Iowa?
Well, we aren't. Fortunately, we aren't seeing that. You know, there was the reports of that, you know, particularly when slaughter plants were closing up, that, you know, that was what we were told to expect. And we really didn't see that. Now, we are certainly kept busy with animal neglect, but we have not seen it correlate with just the inability to place those horses versus feed them. You know, we have been dealing with a situation of animal hoarding with horses.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, with horses.
With horses
yeah.
and with other animals.
With other animals as well. But yeah, it actually has been one of a very strong situation we've had with horses. So to that point, we're actually going to also be hosting coming up here, Dr. Randall Lockwood, long time friend of mine, that also works for the ASPCA. He's going to be coming and talking at the Animal Rescue League about the issue of animal hoarding. That's going to be on February 13th from 6 to 7 in the evening. So hop on our website, get signed up for that as well.
Animal hoarding, you mean that's like the infamous cat lady, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I understand.
Yes.
I understand.
In its various forms. And
We lived next door to an infamous cat lady at one time, yeah, so I get it. And that really is, you know, we can dovetail into all kinds of things, but that really is in the mental health category as well sometimes,
isn't
it?
It is. Truly, when you're talking... You know, when you're talking animal hoarding, and Dr. Lockwood is a real expert on this, yes, you are talking about a mental situation.
And then let's come back to the legislation here on a local basis. You know, we have instances of puppy mills here in Iowa that, as a matter of fact, Iowa is one of the leading states, unfortunately, with that. I suspect that you continue to press the legislature on trying to regulate some of those things. And you're having talking about animal welfare and animal welfare laws, you also take some time to go up to the Capitol and talk to legislators about this, right?
We do. And we've got a specific bill right now, Michael, that's near and dear to our heart, which is Senate File 421. We've been working on it for a couple of years now. And basically what it is an effort to take our companion animal side of our cruelty laws for the state of Iowa and just basically give them a facelift. You know, I mean, there is a lot of situations where the punishment doesn't fit the crime.
Yeah.
There's confusion in language. There is a number of things that's just wrong with it right now. Unfortunately, the Animal Legal Defense Fund has listed Iowa as 49th worst state
wow.
for our animal protection laws.
And the pushback that you seem to get from my reading is farm groups out there say, well, if we do all of these things with protection of animals, then that's going to impede on our business of raising animals for human consumption.
Yes, we do hear that, and it's really, it's a difficult one to actually hear because it's so untrue. I mean, quite frankly, we are very simply, there's a split with our animal protection laws in the state of Iowa. Livestock, 717, 717B is other than livestock. So this effort, this Senate File 421, is not into the 717 livestock end. It is completely on the companion animal end. So, you know, whether legislators are being convinced that this is a threat to agriculture, that is very unfortunate and very, very inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
People, this is a bipartisan situation. This is certainly, you know, agriculture people love their dogs as well, you know. So this is very simply a companion animal bill.
Well, there are some people who will go to almost any lengths to misinform individuals as well. And so, you know, raising the gong, and in this era of social media where everybody has an opinion, and if you've seen it on the internets, it must be true, right? Tom Colvin, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Animal Rescue League. What might surprise people about the Animal Rescue League, Tom, that they may not know about?
You know, we were talking about horses. We have horses for adoption. I continually hear, well, I didn't know you had horses. And we're trying to raise horses awareness, horse adoption awareness, like we did with dogs and cats, and making having people go to the Animal Rescue League and take a look. If they're thinking about getting a horse, any animal, but in this case a horse, that they want a good trail horse, maybe one for, you know, hunter jumper, barrel horse, all of those. Yes, we would be a great place to look first to see if we have that.
I'm shocked.
Yes.
I mean, you just don't think about it that way. And I think that's perhaps, you know, your branding efforts over the years, Tom, have been all cute kittens and puppy dogs.
Yes.
And when we start thinking about horses, and when you say barrel racing or other sports, mm-hmm. in the horse industry, that does surprise me a little bit.
And another just quick thing that might surprise people is that, you know, that quite frankly, the Animal Rescue League and many other shelters and rescues actually work on the issues on how to keep animals out of our facilities. Mm. And that sounds a little strange, but it is true. Truly, if you're having a problem with your pet, Michael, and, you know, you're thinking that if you can't get help, you've got to turn it into the Animal Rescue League, our best bet would be to help you with that problem and keep that pet in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that we work with community outreach, wellness clinics, spaying and neutering, all those types of things to reduce populations and actually, when it's appropriate to do so, keep pets in their families.
And remember, spay and neuter your pets, for crying out loud.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. Tom Colvin, ladies and gentlemen, the Animal Rescue League. If you've missed any or all of this conversation, we will have it up on our podcast page. Thanks so much for doing this. It's a pleasure to see you again, and you've been at this a long, long time, and apparently very successful. By the way, one final question. How did you guys get that location? And admittedly, it's a little bit off the beaten path.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a donation of land for you? Is that how that came about?
You know, that predates me. We moved out to the location in the later 70s. It was about 9 acres of land. And I'm not sure whether it was donated or just made very affordable.
Got it.
I'm not sure which one it was, but we've built on it to the point that I can't build anymore.
Well, the cool thing is as the Des Moines Metro expands, you will soon be in the midst of all of us.
That's right.
There you go. Tom Colvin, ladies and gentlemen, the Animal Rescue League. We'll have directions and all of those things up on our radio blog for you. All right, we've got to step aside. Why? Well, it's time to take a look and see what happened on Wall Street today. The business news and the Wall Street Report continues right after this.
Crying all the time.